listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Dr. Roya Sanparsa is a professor and biomaterials course director of the Department of Prostodontics at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine. She also is the president of the American Academy of Dental Science. Dr. Sanparsa received her DMD from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine and Master's in Science in Biomaterials and Biomimetics and Certificate in Prostodontics from NYU Graduate School of Arts and Science and New York University College of Dentistry, respectively. She completed a fellowship in implant dentistry from Harvard University School of Dental Medicine, a fellowship in academic leadership from the American Dental Education Association Leadership Institute, and obtained a few certificates in advanced surgical implant dentistry, Invisalign, and six-month smiles. She recently received a certificate in entrepreneurship in emerging economics from Harvard Business School and a certificate in iterative innovation process from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Dr. Roya Sanparsa was the chair of Strategic Planning Steering Committee at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine, which charted a new vision and direction for the school. In addition to all her teaching responsibilities, she is serving as the consultant for a few dental companies, and she's serving as faculty advisor and committee member of several different organizations. She has been making major contributions in research in various areas, which resulted in numerous published articles and book chapters. She has been lecturing and presenting both nationally and internationally, and reviewing manuscripts for the Journal of Prostodontics, Journal of Oral Rehabilitation, and Clinical Oral Implant Research. She is also part of the editorial board of MDPI, an open access online journal. She's an active member of the American College of Prostodontists, American Dental Education Association, and the American Academy of Dental Science. I'm so glad to have you on this podcast, Dr. Sanparsa. Let's talk dental implants.
Thank you so much. And it's great pleasure to be here.
So let's start. Can you please tell our listeners what is a dental implant?
Sure. Dental implants are artificial teeth roots. They're similar in shape to screws that are placed in jawbone, and they provide a permanent base for replacing teeth. They fuse to the living bone cells of the jaw over time, and they form a strong and durable anchor for new teeth. Implants have revolutionized the replacement of teeth for over 50 years, and they're becoming a popular and effective long-term solution for people who suffer from missing teeth, failing teeth, or have been having chronic dental problems. There are 3 million people in the United States that have implants, a number that is growing rapidly annually. In dentistry, we mainly use a medical-grade titanium implants, even though there are other materials available like ceramic implants, which are not as popular. Implants also typically have three parts. The first part is the implant or screw itself that serves as a root for the new teeth. This is what permanently attaches to the jawbone. The second part is the abutment or the post, and it's a piece that could be prefabricated or custom-made using different material, and it's placed on the top of the dental implant to hold and support the final crown or prosthesis. The third part would be the crown itself or the prosthesis that this is the part that the tooth can be seen clinically, and it could be made of different material, but preferably, usually, it's made of ceramic due to the aesthetic reason.
What are some of the factors considered when an implant is recommended?
So for some people, ordinary bridges and dentures are simply not comfortable or even possible. As you might know, there are like a one-third of population that never really truly get used to wearing dentures due to like a sore spot or like a poor reach forms or gagging reflexes. In case of missing teeth, an ordinary bridge must be attached to the teeth on either side of the space that it's left by the missing tooth. So the advantages of implant is over the traditional bridge is that no adjacent teeth need to be prepped or ground down to hold the new replacement teeth in place. Patients also need to have healthy gums and adequate bone to support the implant. If the jawbone is narrow genetically, or if it's short or narrow and worn down due to the trauma or diseases, then patient might not have enough bone to support an implant. In this case, bone graft is needed to reconstruct the jaw and to build the site prior to implant placement. And another important factor is that the cost might be an issue for the patient because unfortunately sometimes the implant could be more expensive than other method of teeth replacement, and some insurance company might cover less of the fee. So if that's an important factor, patient need to look into it and get an estimate prior to the treatment. Another important factor is the timing that will take place to replace teeth using dental implants. Each person and each procedure is different. After an initial consultation, usually the dentist provide a treatment plan that include the estimated amount of time to require to complete the process. So this total treatment time, depending on patient needs, their medical or dental history, the jawbone condition, and the technique and the material used, it could be varied. It could be as short as like a few months, so sometimes up to a year in some more complex cases.
Can you talk about some of the different types of dental implants?
Sure. The American Academy of Implant Dentistry considered two types of implant to be safe. One is subperiosteal implant, which are rarely used today because they are require very extensive surgical procedures and they are very technique sensitive, so they are not as popular anymore. They were once primarily used to hold dentures in place in patients with insufficient bone heights. The most common place and used dental implant that are surgically implanted directly into the jawbone are endosteal implants. There are more than 60 companies that they are manufacturing this type of implant or the material used to create them worldwide, with different coating on the implant surface, different connectors, different geometry, shape, or size. The dentist can use highly precise 3D digital imaging and also implant surgical planning softwares to identify and select the proper implant based on the amount of the spacing and bone availability. The endosteal implant also have different connection time that could be an internal connection or external connection with different geometry configuration and design, and the dentist could basically choose either one and choose from any of them.
So Dr. Samparsa, what are the steps involved in placement of an implant?
Well, if patient loses a tooth due to an accident or trauma or dental extraction because it couldn't be saved anymore through root canal therapy, or if it has been cracked beyond salvation, then that can be replaced with dental implant, which involves multiple steps. First is the initial consultation. Patient will have to undergo a consultation prior to any work is done. The specialist or a general dentist with a special training in implant dentistry will determine if patient is qualified candidate for implant. Then if it is, then a comprehensive examination may be needed to review the dental and medical history, creates impression of the gums and the teeth, plus x-rays of the jaw, particularly the area where the missing teeth or tooth is, a computer tomography, CT scan, or CBCT, that stands for cone beam computer tomography. These are 3D or three-dimensional, and they show the bone quality and quantity, the height and width, with the least amount of distortion that it's required for the dentist to know if he or she has, what they have to work with. And this tools going to assist him in basically determining if bone grafting is needed, and also in locating vital structure such as sinuses and nerves. After collecting all the information, if there is not enough bone in the person's jaw, the dentist can discuss option for bone augmentation in order to ensure there is enough bone for the implant to embed itself in. When it comes to augmenting the jaw, it typically involves taking bone from other parts of body. I don't want to get too much into it, but usually it's the patient jaw, hip, or chin, or it could be through artificial bone material or processed cadaver bone. There is two-stage or traditional method of placing implant that dentist makes a small incision or cut on the gum to expose the jawbone. Then it drills holes or holes into the bone where the implant will go, which depends on the size and depth of the implant. You know, the number of the drilling usually varies. After implantation has been completed, the dentist would stitch the gum back and cover it and bury the implant and allow it to heal. After several months, could be from 2 to 6 months of healing, the second part takes place, which involves a small surgical procedure to just expose the implant. From there, then they put in a healing abutment, it gets a screw on the implant, it's exposed orally, and they could just take the, you know, impressions. In single-stage implant, the implant healing cap remains visible, so the abutment and the temporary restoration can be attached without the need for second surgery to expose the head of the implant. So on the bright side, the dentist won't have to do incision and stitches over and over again, but this could carry sometimes a risk of complication. Because, you know, sometimes you just want to allow the body to basically acclimate itself with the placement of the implant, you know, so, you know, that it's usually that's could work better for the patient.
Now that you mentioned like risk and complications, can you tell us what are some of the risk and complications when getting an implant?
Sure. Like any surgery, dental implants also poses some complications. Nerve complication is more likely to happen when the surgery occurs in a lower jawbone, because there is a nerve that runs along the lower jawbone called the inferior alveolar nerve. Nerve damage can happen when the implant is placed too close to it. If patient feels pain, numbness, or tingling sensation, they might have nerve damage. This symptom could be present in a facial area as well, such as cheek, chin, lips, tongue, even gum. Nerve damage may be temporary, which goes away after a few weeks to a few months, but patient may also need to have the dental implant removed, unfortunately, if that persists. A skin implant expert will be able to identify the location of vital structures like nerve and find any issue when they take the CT scan and before they place the implant. So this could all be minimized and could be eliminated. Another complication is sinus problem, which are more serious when it's perforated. The sinus are located above the upper teeth called the maxillary sinuses. Sinus perforation is when the dental implant is placed on the upper jaw and pierced through the sinus, usually by an inexperienced dentist. Patient will notice pressure in the sinus or stuffy nose, even though piercing of the sinus sounds very serious, but it's easy to fix it. Sometimes the tissue can often heal itself depending on the size of the perforation. However, the sinus might get infected and the dental implant may need to be removed to properly fix the area and repair the perforation. Infections also of the dental implant site is another complication that often happen when the gum and the bones surrounding the implant become inflamed and may cause the loss of bone density in the surrounding bone. This happens when bacteria are introduced to the surgical area throughout the different stages of operation. if dentist doesn't adhere to proper protocol for dental hygiene. It also could happen if the equipment is not sterilized or the implant itself before the placement it's been contaminated. It may also happen if patient has untreated infection or pre-implantitis often happens sometimes a few years after the surgery, and in individuals who are smokers or diabetes or have uncontrolled disease or poor immune system and basically or poor hygiene as well. If patient notice their gum look red or purple, or if there is pus coming out around the implant, or if there is abnormal bleeding at the gum line, then they should definitely let the dentist know, because the dentist could or the surgeon could reopen the gum and clean up the area and remove the bacteria. Sometimes a bone graft might be necessary and needed. And, you know, if there is a lot of bone loss and there is a lot of damage at some point, unfortunately, in some severe cases, might need to remove the implant as well. There are other complications or other, you know, like a gingival recessions or gingival hypoplasia or overgrowth or immediate complication like excessive bleeding that could happen. But I always say that utilizing proper tools, imaging technology, and careful surgical preparation could prevent such complications.
Are there any recommendations for implant care after it's been placed?
Yes, of course, and there are plenty. So as soon as the surgery ends, I would always say the dental implant care, you know, process begins then. So the most important thing is to keep in mind, you know, for the patient not to touch the implant area and avoid vigorous mouth rinsing. Most teeth implant, you know, recovery symptoms are not a huge cause for concern. Bleeding from the implant side usually happen up to, it could be up to 72 hours. The best way to control that is to use gauze and bite on it, you know, as much as necessary. Forceful spitting, smoking, and using a straw is prohibited because it would complicate the blood clot formation. Patient may experience some pain and discomfort, sometimes stiffness or at the throat and difficulty swelling. Swelling and the bruises of the face could happen or around the gum line. And sometimes if patients have gone through bone grafting or some additional surgical procedures like sinus elevation and all those procedures, those might trigger the bruising around lip, nose, and eyes as well. Patient can place ice pack on face closest to the area that is most affected, 15-20 minutes on and off for 48 hours or longer if needed. Basically, caring for dental implant include proper oral hygiene as well. So, and that starts immediately. I would always tell patients to avoid using water floss and electric toothbrushes for at least few days or a week. The best solution would be used to use a traditional toothbrush. Implant may not get cavity, but they should know that the soft tissue around implant can get infected. Another issue would be in a smoker, because smoking, you know, it's create a failure rate of 20% and impact dental implant healing immensely. Under no circumstances can patient smoke at least for 2 months after surgery, and ideally they should give up smoking if it's possible, because as I said, the smoking and the nicotine, you know, constrict the blood vessel, and which could mess up with integration and could lead to infection and implant failure. So additionally, implants don't have a shock absorbing system, and that means that if patient has a strong butt, if they're clenching, grinding, bruxing, then I would highly recommend wearing a night guard or good cell guard.
Do implants fail? And if they do, what are the most common causes?
Yes, unfortunately they do, since, as you know, the success rate of implants are not 100% yet. So they can fail at any stage. Some of the most common causes of dental implant failure could be overheating the bone at the time when the dentist places the implant. It could be contamination of the implant surface, or if patients have some systemic problem or diseases that could interfere with integration. Another thing would be the bisphosphonate necrosis. There are patients that taking Fosamax for osteoporosis or other bisphosphonate, you know, medication that may be a risk of developing osteonecrosis, which basically means the death of the bone. The bone dies or gets necrosis. And, you know, this could all, you know, have a huge impact. Radiation of the bone during treatment of the malignancy, tumor, or cancer. As if some patients have autoimmune diseases or have infection, they don't have enough bone, or they might even have some allergic reaction. If the dentist load the implant, or let's say you place the implant, you know, and then very shortly after they basically construct the final restoration and doesn't give enough time for the bone and for everything to heal, that including, as I mentioned, a smoking, bruxism, gum disease, they all could basically contribute to implant failure. So it's essential to be aware of all these alarming symptoms. And if patients see any slight changes in the tissue, soft tissue, or surrounding, you know, anatomical environment or around the implant, basically make sure that they, you know, let the dentist know, and, you know, so that would be take care of it so quickly.
Can a failed dental implant be replaced?
Yes, and replacement of a failed dental implant with a second implant have a survival rate of 69% to 91%. So re-implanted implant have a much better chance at survival if the cause of initial failure is known. When bone loss around the implant is large, then the removal of the implant might be much easier and quicker, but that's a damage that it has been done, and sometimes the dentist might require to, you know, before re-implanting to, you know, replace that and repair that bone with the additional bone grafting material. After removal of the implant, patient has to consider what they want to do next. Sometimes a new implant can be placed a few weeks or months later, depending on the circumstances. As I said, if the loss of implant was caused due to the bone resorption, then the bone grafting or additional surgical procedures might be needed prior or at the time of the implant placement. If for some reason patient is not a good candidate for re-implantation, then the option would be to consider a bridge or a removable prosthesis. And even with that, you know, it requires some time because as gums may have to heal before an impression is taken and before patient can start wearing the new restoration.
Any other thoughts for our listeners?
I just wanted to point out to a couple extra note that depending on the health of jawbone and patient, a specific need, depending on, you know, different treatment options, there are a few things that also my patients or the dentist might consider. One is immediate low dental implant, also called as the same day implants or teeth in a day. It allows a placement of a temporary tooth or teeth during the same appointment as dentist, you know, places the implant. This may be a good option if patient have a very good and enough bone, and if implant are secure enough to support the immediate placement and they could hold the pressure of the new temporary teeth. So that's the option that is available in, you know, specific cases. There is another option called all on four. All on four is an alternative full mouth reconstruction that could replace all the teeth on the top or bottom or both jaws. Four implants usually are placed in available bone, and that usually the purpose of these you know, procedures is to avoid the need for bone grafting or additional surgical procedures. Special abutments are used so that a temporary set of replacement teeth can be placed at the same day or if not, after the healing period of 2 to 3 months, depending on the cases, it differs. Patients should adhere to a soft diet, usually while the gum tissue are healing and the implant bond to the natural bone. After about usually 6 months, a final prosthesis that could be from a different material, depending on the patient and the, you know, the specialist preferences, would be placed, and patient can resume hopefully a regular diet.
Thank you, Dr. Sanparsa, for sharing your expertise with us today. It was great to have you.
Thank you for having me, and I hope the audience find this information useful.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.